This time, we will dismiss the children to Children's Church and preschool along with the workers who are helping today. Some of you may still wonder or think or reflect or ask, has the church done anything further on the issue of church security and safety? And I can tell you where we stand, some valuable information. At our last ministerial association meeting, members of the fire department, the police department, Dr. Earl Motzer were present to give us a very thorough safety assessment. They're very willing to come, and if we have five or six folks who can come and be fully informed, there are obviously a lot of safety issues about fire and that sort of thing. And there's some very wonderful ideas that we never thought of that the fire department mentioned, and we can talk about those. So we are pursuing that. From the sheriff's department, The information, I'm just giving you a brief description of it, but I thought you'd want to be updated. One of the things they suggested as far as are you going to lock your doors or not, if you lock doors, you should have greeters who are fairly well trained at, first of all, making people feel welcome if a stranger comes in. But if it's a stranger that you're not familiar with in today's times, that greeter should probably be efficient at saying, "We're so glad you're here, and do you mind if I sit with you?" Make yourself comfortable so that they can not only make them feel welcome, but keep an eye on that person for any strange behavior. As far as concealed carry is concerned, the advice is simply this. If you designate specific people and say, "We have these two or three people who are our armed security," you open yourself to great liability in lawsuits. If people have their own personal concealed carry, and it's just personal, then that's their business, and there is no problem. One of the things that I thought about that the sheriff made very clear, he said the main thing is to have someone trained to call 911 in the case of a shooting, get somewhere safe, call 911 and stay on the line to keep us informed minute by minute what's going on. And when we arrive, anyone who has concealed carry and has that gun out, drop it and raise your hands, because we're looking for guns and we're going to start shooting where we see guns. So this is some of the very practical and realistic information that we received, and we hope to schedule a more in-depth report. I only scratched the surface of the things we learned in that ministerial meeting, and they'd be very glad to come and do a presentation for us, which we're going to pursue. I haven't felt the greatest for about a week or two. About a year ago, when I went for my annual heart checkup, I was doing so well, the doctor lowered my blood pressure medicine. And apparently I can't function too well with it that low for the last week or so. It's been really, really high. And I was able to see the doctor and get my blood pressure medicine back to the level it probably should stay. And I was talking with Vance this morning, and being a retired pharmacist, he hasn't forgotten all the things that he knew, so he told me it's going to take a few days for all of this to level out. So some days I feel pretty lethargic, do a little bit and want to sit in a chair. Of course, I told that to somebody, and they said, "That's the way I feel all the time, you know." I'm not too sure that says too much. So my energy level has been down. I feel down a little bit. But it's coming back, and I think I'm going to be fine. I just want to give you that update in case anyone is saying, boy, he just doesn't seem to have much zip. What's wrong? Well, that's kind of what it is. And in the midst of that, let's think about Christmas. I know you already are. And I know this message this morning entitled, Don't Lose Jesus in the Festivities, sounds like a worn-out sermon. But you know, we can say all the right things. In fact, I was in a meeting the other day where the devotional was about the fact that we do real good at getting folks to church. Church is the answer, but what do we do the other 6 days of the week? So we can talk about keeping Jesus in the season and not forgetting about Him, but when we go out of here, will we stress over the meals we have to fix? Stress over the gifts we've got to buy? Stress and wonder what we're really going to get? Worry about whether all the folks are being treated equally and we're spending right down to 59 cents the same amount on every child and grandchild? And all the parties we have to go to? All the food and celebrations? It gets so crowded. It's easy to get overwhelmed by all these things. And then I thought today about all the folks who not only deal with all of that kind of stress, but the folks who deal with grief and sadness. And Jesus can get lost in the festivities and in the season, even over that. I remember, and I was an 11-year-old boy, my grandfather died on the 22nd of December, and his funeral and burial was on Christmas Eve. Now, for an 11-year-old boy, that was a strange mix of emotions. I remember staying with my cousin a good bit of the time, and there was all the excitement of what was happening at their house. And then we go to the funeral and the burial, and I see the sadness of my mom and my grandmother. And it was kind of easy for Jesus to get lost in the midst of a setting like that. We were talking earlier today about folks right now on our prayer list who are dealing with the loss of someone they love just a few days before Christmas, or reflecting back. They say holidays are the hardest. So whether it's festivity and busyness and stress and food and drink and all the parties or grief or whatever, we must not lose Jesus in the midst of it all, because He is the reason for the festivities. And that's more than a cliche. No matter how we want to change AD, the year of our Lord, to CE, the common era, it's derived from the fact that about 2,000 years ago, a man was born who was God in the flesh, and He is the reason every kind of celebration. It is the Christ Mass. So don't lose Jesus in the festivities. I'm going to suggest that we have to discipline ourselves a little bit. Find some quiet time all to yourself. Engage yourself in some things that build you up, whether it's a Christmas play or a Christmas concert or Christmas music or getting alone and reading your Bible. I'm going to tell you, last night I woke up, I was stressed. I woke up about 6 in the morning and I wanted to sleep until about 8. And I could not get rid of the stress. And my mind was running 100 miles. Now, you know how that goes when your mind won't slow down and you think of 4,000 unrelated things and wonder, why am I thinking about that? And I'll tell you, I just stopped and I thought, how many scriptures do I know by heart? Not as many as I should. But I began to just recite them, beginning with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And on and on, different ones, even the Christmas story. I was surprised. And you know, it really is true. After about 10 minutes of rehearsing those scriptures, there was a peace that settled in. There's something in the Word of God. We need to spend some time in those things so we don't lose Jesus in the midst of the festivities. Now, I've chosen a scripture this morning that's from Luke 2, but it's not when Jesus was born. It's when He's 12 years old. But let's see if there isn't a message in that for us, beginning with verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. You know this story. It's not as familiar as his birth, but let's hear it. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, the Feast of the Passover was one of the biggest celebrations in Jewish history, and from the time, at least from the time that Jesus would have been considered a man, although he was still a boy of 12, he went with his family to the Passover. And Passover, like festivities today, even though Passover was about that move of God when ancient Israel was delivered out of Egypt, Passover had become a long process, several days of not only doing the sacrificial lambs, but of food and feasting and celebration and rejoicing, and rightly so, because it celebrated the great Exodus. But it appears that Mary and Joseph may have gotten caught up in the festivities themselves. Because when the days of the feast were over, which would have been about 7 days, after the feast was over, it seems from the story, forgot about Jesus. At least they didn't have him in their presence. Now, I realize he was 12 years old. Have any of you in here ever lost a child for a few minutes or an hour? Any of you ever been lost as a child? I knew Brian raised his hand twice. So much so that his grandmother told Colleen, "Don't ever let him go anywhere with Terry again." We'd gone, of all places, to Riverfront Stadium to a baseball game. He was about 4 or 5, and I was buying hot dogs and Cokes, and he was standing by my side. And when I let go to pay the bill, suddenly, in what seemed like 20 seconds, but seemed much, much longer, he was gone in a crowd of 20, 30, 40,000 people. And thankfully, either he found or a police officer found him about 2 entrance gates down from the concession stand. But in that moment of time, my heart felt like, oh my. And in today's culture, it's even worse. I don't know if Mary and Joseph felt any panic. Apparently they did. But apparently in this situation, it took a day. They had gone a day's journey from Jerusalem heading back toward Nazareth. And Joseph said, "Mary, where's our boy?" And Mary said, "Joseph, don't you know? You know how that goes, moms and dads, it's your responsibility." "Well, no, but I guess he's with some of the cousins somewhere in the troop." And so they looked and looked, and no, the cousins hadn't seen him, and none of the other relatives and none of the friends that they'd been celebrating the festivities with, they didn't see him. So, wow, he must be in Jerusalem. So they turn around and they go back to Jerusalem, and they look frantically in this large city with folks from all over, all kinds of folks from different nations milling about, and they look for 3 days. We're not told where all they looked, but they looked and they looked, and they finally went back to the temple, and as you know, they found him sitting in the midst of all those scholars and learned Jewish rabbis asking and answering questions as he said, I was about my Father's business. That's the story. That's the setting. What are the three or four lessons out of that story for us where we can learn from Mary and Joseph about not losing Jesus in the festivities? Well, first of all, it's just the simple fact of what I've been talking about. In the midst of the celebration, they lost Jesus. And so over and over, I'm saying to you this morning, in the midst of the celebration of Christmas over the next several days, don't lose Jesus. You and I kind of look at this story somewhat aghast and say, how could they have lost Jesus? How could they have done that? Well, I think they were just caught up in the celebration. I think they were just caught up in some assumptions. I think they were just caught up in thinking, well, he'll be all right. We don't need to give that much attention. Some of the same things that can cause us to lose Jesus in the midst of our Christmas celebration. We're busy. We're frantic. We think everything will surely be okay. And before you know it, we're frenzied and we've lost Jesus. We're not as close to him as we once were. And we've drifted and lost him. Then the next thing that I really think stands out is the fact that they traveled one day before they missed him, but it took 3 days to find what they had lost. There's a powerful lesson in that. It talks about the subtlety and the pleasure of sin. The sin of forgetfulness, or the sin of self-indulgence, or the sin of neglect, or the sin of responding to just an almost irresistible temptation. It's immediate. It can happen in a day. But once it has happened, just as it took Joseph and Mary 3 days to find what they had lost, what we sacrifice for immediate pleasure takes a long and hard road to find. I've talked to many folks, and I have some dear friends who love the Lord but have made some very serious mistakes that they made in an instant. And in some cases, they're still traveling that hard road back to recover what they had lost. And so as we learn from not losing Jesus in the midst of the festivities, we want to understand that the pleasures of sin are immediate, but the road back is long and hard. Now, my message is not long this morning. In fact, I just have a couple of more things I want to remind us of. The next thing that we think about is, where did they find him? At the temple. Think about that. They found him right where they left him. He hadn't moved. Isn't that a fascinating illustration of when we go down that long, hard road because we've sacrificed the pleasure of sin, we've sacrificed the long-term benefit for a moment of the pleasure of sin, and we're on that long, hard road back to finding Jesus? The good news is he hasn't moved. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is like the father in the prodigal son. The boy left home, and the boy wasted it all. But when he came to his senses, he went back looking for his father, and guess where his father was? Still at home, waiting. That's the picture that we see when we have taken that long road. And folks, I'm not just talking about falling into some horrible, destructive, sinful pattern, although that can be a part of it. I'm talking more during this season about just drifting away, becoming lax in our focus on the Lord, not spending any time with him, focusing on all the things of the world and getting caught up in all the glamour and spectacle, not only of Christmas, but all that this world has to offer. and we don't spend much time with the Lord, and our hearts have grown a little hard and a little cold, and we just know that we're not as close to God as we once were, and we don't know exactly what we're going to do about that. Well, one good piece of news, or one piece of good news, is this. Whenever you decide, and whenever I decide, that I've gone far enough, and I don't like the road I'm on, and I want to go back, and I begin by coming to the Lord with a humble attitude of saying, Lord, I need you. I've messed up. He's right there where He's always been, with open arms. There's a saying, and it's in a song, I believe, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, that says, I've learned a long time ago that sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay. But the good news is that in spite of all of our foolishness and all of our neglect and all of our rebellion and all of our hard-heartedness, whenever we decide in our hearts that this is no way to live, and we feel like we've lost Jesus in the festivities or lost Him in the things of the world, when we come home, He's still there because He hasn't moved. I want to talk about Mary in closing. You know, there's something significant after this event. I don't think Mary ever left Him again. How many times in the Gospels do we read that Jesus is preaching or teaching and they'll say, Master, your mother is outside the door, your mother and your brothers. She followed Jesus closely. In fact, we know that she followed Him all the way to the cross. And there, as the one who had borne this Son that she loved, who was the very Son of God, saw Him stripped and beaten, none of us, especially us men, can imagine a mother's heart in this situation. As she followed Him all the way to the cross, and as she stood at the foot of the cross as Jesus was dying there for the sins of the world, there's another lesson right there. He looked down, if you remember, and He said to John, behold your mother. And He said to Mary, behold your son. How striking adoption took place at the cross. And in a spiritual sense, those of us who had wandered away, who were not living as the children of God, the Bible says we've been adopted. And I'm here to say adoption took place at the cross. Just as Jesus said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And from that day forward, John took her as his own mother. But there is one wonderful final point in all of this great story. Mary not only followed Jesus to the cross, she was there when He arose from the grave. And after those 50 days, after 40 days when He ascended, and then 50 days when Pentecost came, Mary, along with 119 other people, including the chosen apostles, were together in an upper room. You remember the story. And then suddenly, as they were praying in all in one accord, there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Tongues of fire appeared and sat on each of their shoulders. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you realize Mary was in that group? And wonder of wonders, Mary is the only woman in the world who has ever carried Jesus twice. For she carried Him as the incarnate Son of God in the flesh. And on the day of Pentecost, she carried the Spirit of God within her. She never lost Him again. And that same Holy Spirit that descended on Pentecost and has been freely given to all believers who are repentant of their sins and confess Christ and are baptized are promised the gift, as Peter said, "For you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." I sense today that God is calling each of us in some way. But above all, at this time, I want to emphasize that my message for me and for you is that during these next few days of hectic rush, busyness, and stress, grief, sadness, or whatever it may be that causes us to lose Christ in the midst of the festivities, don't lose Him. Find Him afresh. Find Him afresh this morning with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that indwelt Mary, that indwelt the believers, that indwells you. A promise of God with us and God in us. Don't lose Jesus in the festivities. Let's stand together. This may be a time of commitment. Maybe a time to just say, "Lord, I'm going to make that extra effort. Lord, I haven't been beginning my days or finding any time in a day to just read your word and talk to you. I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to help celebrate your birth, Lord, by focusing on you. While I'm buying gifts for family and friends, or while I'm filling out those cards, or while I'm preparing a meal for somebody to come over, I want to do something for you. I know we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. I think He deserves a little honor. I think He deserves a little of our time. I think He deserves to not be lost in the festivities this season."
Over the sky of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find this child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. "I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you." Sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. And it's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you. We bring an offering to you.
Well, I can tell you this morning I've given myself a lot to think about for me. I hope that not just my words, but the prompting of God's Spirit has given each of us something to think about individually. Because God sent His Son not only to save us from our sins, but to establish a relationship with us. The best and most loving relationship anyone could ever have. Sometimes we just need a little jolt. We just need a reminder to deepen that relationship by giving Him a little more time, giving Him a little more love, humbling ourselves, admitting when we've sinned, not going on in pride, not going on with a hard and cold heart. Just remember, wherever you are, He hadn't moved. He hadn't moved. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed. I really want to encourage you to try to greet one another this morning with the love of Christ. Find somebody you've been meaning to catch and hadn't been able to see for a while and grab them before they get out the door and shake a hand or hug them real good, all right? God bless you.